This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
So, front page of the New York Times talks about a devastating loss for pro-life forces. Justice has overturned Texas abortion limits. There has been the belief for some time in conservative circles that this court was going to continue moving towards outlawing abortion bit by bit, piece by piece. That certainly belief was blown out of the water yesterday in this decision, was it not?
Yeah, I believe it was, particularly given the fact that this outcome came about and this outcome would have come about, and notwithstanding the death of Justice Scalia. In other words, even if Justice Scalia had still been around, it appears that this outcome would have been exactly the same. Now, this is the first time since 2000 in a case called Stenberg versus Carhart that the court has taken this type of action. So we're talking about roughly 16 years since this type of action has occurred, and certainly it is being perceived correctly, I think, as a significant setback for the pro-life movement. Look, these were restrictions, these were health and safety restrictions imposed by the state of Texas, simply dealing with proximity to an admitting hospital, simply dealing with the health and safety standards that are applicable to an outpatient surgery facility.
Right.
And so a lot of pro-life activists and a lot of people who are just interested in maintaining the public health and safety of the people of Texas were confident in this case, and yet the Supreme Court saw fit to intervene. I don't think it was warranted, but it is the outcome that we are faced with.
Obviously, the court and Kennedy could have found a rational reason why the state would decide to put some of these regulations on abortion clinics if they'd chosen to. It wasn't a reach at all. They had an excuse. They decided not to take it, and I think it's really significant.
His book is Our Lost Constitution. Senator Mike Lee, thank you very much for being on the show this morning.
Well, Senator Mike Lee, who's going to be on with us next week, and I can't wait to have him on with us to talk more about this and, what's been happening with the attack on our Constitution. I think it's a huge deal. This is more significant than I believe people are really considering here, because, they want to see this as an abortion issue. But, Democrats have been ones to say, oh, we're here to protect the health of women. Are you really? I mean, this is a 5-3 decision. This is why Mike Lee and the commentator said, well, whether or not Justin Scalia was there may not have made a difference. Well, you don't know that, because Scalia always had influence even prior to decisions. And I'm sure there would have been some questions that he would have brought up, only that he would have brought up, relevant to the Constitution, and it would have been interesting. So I think the loss of Scalia in this argument is dramatic, and here it is. The absence of Scalia is felt with a 5-3 decision, and one that I believe opens up consideration for, I believe, some say it's not an overreach. I'm not a legal expert, but with other legal experts that I've spoken with, and relevant to our Constitution, I believe it's an overreach. I agree with them that it is. And I think it's grounds for impeachment, frankly, that we need to look at these judges and what they're doing. The way they're vetted, it's so difficult to understand really where they're coming from, though we have an idea, how they're going to decide issues, right? Go ahead.
This also opens up to what they're going to fight for next, that insurance companies have to cover abortions.
Well, of course.
And that's what they'll go after next.
But why wouldn't you want to have these, these doctors have a relationship with a local office? I mean, what brought this up to begin with? The fact was you had young women going in and dying at these facilities. And you found out after the fact that these doctors didn't even have admission qualifications. They didn't have a relationship with a local hospital. you know, Texas, to its credit, said, hey, look, we want to protect our women. And the Supreme Court says, nah, you don't have to. That was their decision. 5-4. Amazing.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Bar Justice is responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisements. Service may not be available in all states.
Attention. This is an important message for anyone who had an IVC filter implanted to prevent blood clots from traveling to their heart or lungs. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. If you or a loved one has had an IVC filter implanted, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Call the IVC Filter Justice now at 800-870-7899. IVC filters have been known to fracture and cause tearing of the heart, lungs, or vena cava, internal bleeding, pulmonary embolism, and even death. Our network of experienced attorneys is ready to fight for you at no charge. You pay no fees unless your case is settled. But hurry, time is limited to make a claim, so call now for a free confidential consultation. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one has had an IVC filter implanted, call IVC Filter Justice now at 800-870-7899. 800-870-7899. That's 800-870-7899.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. It's always good to have you along with us. 6 minutes after the top of the hour for more information on the show. You want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. There is a plethora, I mean a plethora, capital P, kind of source of information here for you to check out at your convenience. Also, you want to drop me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Tell me you want to be in the running for that DVD. We've got a plethora as well of DVDs of the movie Risen, and we'd like to make sure we put one in your hands. All you got to do is just send me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. We've been doing this now for several weeks with other DVDs. They seem to be coming in right now. It's the season. Why not? Let's spread the love, okay? We're going to spread it out to you. All you got to do, just tell me, hey, Martinez, put me in the running, okay, would you? Here's my address, bill@billmartinezlive.com, and good luck, okay? Hopefully you can become a winner of the DVD, Blu-ray disc of the movie Risen. Lots of fun to share with your family and your friends. Hey, Howard Stern is with us right now. He's a university professor, having earned his master's degree at UC Berkeley. And an atheist, he says, don't hold it against him. I mean, UC Berkeley, yeah, beautiful campus, just gorgeous. I know there's some interesting ideas that come out of there, but it's good. We need to continue on the conversation, and we're going to have some with the professor in just a moment. He was an avowed atheist when he was overcome with a devastating and life-changing illness while on vacation in Paris. That illness resulted in a near-death experience on June the 1st, 1985, and he's going to tell us all about it and what happened afterwards. Howard Storm, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, Professor?
Great, good. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Hey, great to have you here. So tell us about, you know, we all, you know, I was born and raised in California, and we always had a good time, you know, with UC Berkeley, so, you know, it's with due respect that I refer to Berkeley. I think it's just a gorgeous campus. Every time, you know, about the closest thing that I got to UC Berkeley is that, you know, they let me on the campus only because they didn't know I was coming on. And so I kind of, but I enjoy, I enjoyed it. It's a great campus. And I love the laboratory of thought that takes place there. And, you know, though I may disagree with some of the principles, that's okay. I love the conversation.
Yeah. We called it Berserkly.
I'm sorry, what is that?
We called it Berserkly.
I imagine at times it probably could be, and being an insider, you could say that and not upset too many people, because the insiders probably realize that maybe at times, just like any kind of school of thought where you take yourself maybe too seriously at times, you know, you can thwart ideas, but also hopefully you know, we're open for the good ideas that can come out and still rise to the, you know, rise to the top as cream does. You were saying that, you know, during this period of time, you were an avowed atheist. You didn't believe in God. And then something happened while you're in Paris, right?
Right. In 1985, I was taking a group of art students around on an art tour. And on the last day of our trip, 3-week trip around Europe, we were in Paris, and I had a perforation of my stomach. I didn't know I had the condition. I may have had an ulcer. It may have been a foreign object. I'll never know. But anyway, so it took me right down to the ground with the most incredible pain I'd ever experienced in my life. And I was taken by an ambulance to the biggest municipal hospital in Paris, the emergency room. They knew immediately what was wrong and told me that I had to have surgery immediately or that I would die. When I talked to doctors in the United States since that experience about it, they said my life expectancy on the outside was about 5 hours surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent me from the emergency room to a surgical hospital, and they parked me in a room. But because it's socialized medicine and because it was a Saturday, there was no surgeon available to do surgery. So I was parked, given no medication, no painkillers, no nothing, as in no pillow, no sheet, no blanket, no nothing.
Oh, wow. You're just lying there on a naked gurney?
On a naked bed, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
And for 10 hours.
For 10 hours, and though the doctors back home said your life expectancy is 5 without surgery.
Right.
You're twice the length of time.
Yeah, because I was 38 years old, and I didn't want to die because I knew, and I thought all rational, intelligent people knew that when you died, you were dead. You know, you know, I didn't believe that, like, a little blue spirit came up rising out of your body called the soul and went to heaven. I didn't believe it, or the other place. I didn't believe in it. So anyways, after 10 hours, a nurse came into the room. I hadn't seen a doctor the whole time I was in the surgical hospital, but a nurse came into the room. They came in about once every hour or two and asked me how I was doing, and I told them I was dying, and they'd go, oh, sorry.
Well, that's the socialized medicine response. See, that you get that in the manual. When you go to socialized medicine, it's listed right there in the idiom and the response terms that need to be used.
Yeah. We really don't want socialized medicine. It's bad.
Right. Exactly.
Anyways, so she said that they were not able to locate a doctor, and her words were, "We will try to get one the next day." Well, I had known I was losing the battle for hours, and the pain was, like, just unbelievable.
Imagine you would probably cycle in and out, just passing out because of the pain from time to time, right?
I couldn't pass out, and that was one of the things that really upset me. I kept wondering, why can't I pass out? I thought when things got this bad, you were supposed to go unconscious, and I never went unconscious.
Oh, wow.
So I told my wife, I said, I'm going to die now. And I want to say goodbye. And I told her I loved her, and she kissed me and hugged me and told me she loved me. And I told her, tell my kids and my parents that I loved them, and tell my friends. And I went on, and I closed my eyes to die, and then I went unconscious. And the next thing I knew is I was awake, and I felt physically better than I'd ever felt in my entire life. My senses were heightened. I was checking out my environment, and I was yelling and screaming at my wife and the man that was the roommate in my room, and they didn't respond to me at all, which made me very angry because I thought they were ignoring me.
Right.
And I heard people outside the room calling me by name, and I went over to the room and I said, I'm really sick. I need surgery. And they said, we know all about you. We've been waiting for you. Hurry up. Let's go. So I assumed that they were a medical team coming to take me to the doctor.
Right.
Well, they never exactly said that.
Yeah.
That's what I thought they were.
Because that's the logical thinking you would have at that point in time, right?
Yeah. And so we walked into the hallway, which was very gray and dismal and foggy, and had a really bad feeling about going with these people. But
well, yeah, because you're not even carried in the gurney. You're walking down the hallway, right?
Yeah, but considering the treatment I've gotten so far, this was not...
Right.
So we went on a long journey down what I thought was the hallway, which just turned out to be, I don't know where it was. But anyways, we went into complete darkness. And when I got to the place where I couldn't see anymore, I mean, I finally knew this is bad. This is not good. I want to go back. And I said, I'm not going any further with you. And they said, no, you're going further. And I said, no, I'm not. And so we fought. And I played some football in high school and stuff like that. And I was a big, strong guy. So
okay, Howard, hang on one second, only because we got to go to break here. And we're going to pick it up from that point on the other side of the break. Howard Storm is with us. We're talking about his near-death experience back on June the 1st in 1985. This is Bill Martinez live. More from the professor after this. Stay with us. 15 after.
This report is brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. New Jersey just got healthier. Hackensack University Health Network and Meridian Health have joined together to change how care is delivered. Robert C. Garrett, co-CEO.
We intend to make our coming together more meaningful and groundbreaking as we anticipate Hackensack Meridian Health will transform healthcare delivery and serve as a national example. Our leadership is committed to implementing innovative models of care, education and research, and thoroughly reimagining healthcare delivery to thrive in this new world.
John K. Lloyd, co-CEO.
Our commitment includes our network of physician practices, home care, rehab facilities, fitness and wellness centers, post-acute care facilities, and much more. This is truly the most comprehensive integrated network in New Jersey and one of the top in the country.
For more information, visit HackensackMeridianHealth.org.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
There's nothing more enticing and intoxicating than the finest meat cooking on an open flame. Freeze-dried meat from NewHarvest.com is U.S.-grown, 100% all-natural with no extra fillers. Just grass-fed beef and free-range chicken guaranteed to stay fresh and delicious. Add NewHarvest freeze-dried meats to your current food storage. You'll buy direct from the factory, not a third party, ensuring the best price and the highest quality. See all our products at NewHarvestFoods.com. That's NewHarvestFoods.com.
You've reached Bill Martinez live. Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, welcome back, America. Whether it's online or any one of our 280-some affiliates, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Our conversation with Howard Storm continues. He's a university professor, having earned his master's degree at UC Berkeley, or as he fondly refers to it, as UC Berserkly, and an atheist when he was overcome with a devastating and life-changing illness while on vacation in Paris. And when we left Howard, he was walking down the hallway and realized as he was walking down the hallway, thinking that maybe he was going to surgery, but he was walking after being laid up for an endless amount of hours, well beyond the life expectancy that was projected by doctors back here in the States. It said with the ailment he was dealing with, he had maybe 5 hours of life expectancy without surgery. Now he's 10 plus and counting. But he's heading down the hallway thinking he's going to surgery. But, Howard, something tells you we ain't going to surgery, Toto.
Right. These people were getting very vicious. When I said I wouldn't go with them any further, they started to push and pull at me, and I fought back with them. And they started to bite and tear. And they were in no hurry to destroy me because they were very happy to hear me scream and yell and to fight. So they're just like, take off a piece of an ear, a piece of my calf, a piece of my, you know, this and that, bit by bit by bit, until finally there wasn't enough of me to fight anymore, and I'm lying on the ground of that place. And I heard a voice that seemed to come from, like, my chest or something and said, pray to God. And I thought, what a stupid idea. I don't believe in God. And the voice said, pray to God. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't know how to pray. And the voice said, pray to God. And I thought, when I was a kid and went to Sunday school, we said prayers, and I'm trying to remember something, and I'm coming up with, like, I pledge allegiance to the flag, you know.
You're kind of sounding like Whoopi Goldberg in Sister Act,
yeah,
trying to do the
yeah
prayer for dinner, right?
Exactly. Yes. Finally, I come up with a couple little phrases, and the people around me get very, very agitated and tell me there's no God and nobody can hear me, and they're going to make things much worse for me if I don't stop. But I also noticed that by any of my feeble attempts to repeat any kind of phrase that had God in it, it drove them further and further away. So I drove them off me, and I got to think about my life. And I'm not going to go through my whole assessment of my life, but as a teacher, I graded my life, and I decided that whatever life was supposed to be about, I had missed it. And I had failed the final exam. And now I was getting what I had deserved by being with these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the total abject despair when I went back to that place of being a little kid in a Sunday school classroom. And I was thinking about singing Jesus Loves Me. And I called out to Jesus out of pure desperation. And he came into that darkness, and he took me out of it, and he gave me a complete life review from beginning to end, and then he asked me to ask questions, and I asked him everything I could think of to ask, which he answered everything very carefully. Mm-hmm. Then he gave me the really bad news, which is that I had to come back here and try this whole thing again, this thing called life, and I was not a candidate for heaven at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sent me back, and so that's what I've been doing for the past 31 years, is trying to live a life the way I think he wants us to live, which is to be a good person and a loving, kind person.
Mm-hmm. To follow his example. And, of course, you wrote the book My Descent into Death, A Second Chance at Life, as a result of this experience, to help, document and just remind yourself of what you went through, right?
Right. And hopefully my story, other people could learn from it, not to do the same stupid, dumb things that I've done.
Well, but sometimes, with all due respect, Howard, I've often said that sometimes we have to fall off the roof to find out when we hit the ground there is such a thing as the law of gravity. Because we deny it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And so for you, you denied God, but then you got to the point at that crossroads of life where you had an opportunity to acknowledge that it wasn't about you, and yes, you went back to that point in life when you had some understanding and connection of God, and go figure, with all your education and your experience, a professor in college, and you find yourself as a little child.
Exactly. You nailed it right there. You really did.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, only because, let me tell you, Howard, we all go through that. And we think we're so smart, but this is also why Jesus said very clearly, you must, in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you have to have this kind of childlike innocence and curiosity, that it's not going to be because of the wisdom and the books and the degrees that we have. It's because of this sense of innocence and questioning. Because, you know, even you got to that point that was really, very important. You know, Jesus, you know, who says, I am the way, I'm the truth, the life. And when he says that, he's got the answers for us. And he says, okay, ask me the questions you have. And unfortunately, you had ears to hear and you had a heart. Okay, these are questions, probably questions you had within you all these number of years, right?
Yes. And I don't have any more questions. My only question now is, how do you want me to behave today?
Right. Know? Exactly. Well, you know, and that's the thing is about it. And I understand, Howard, that sometimes in our humanity, we think it's about doing instead of what he's already done. And if we live in the presence and the idea of what he accomplished for us, it goes a lot easier. We're not struggling. I got to tell you, I was really sad for Muhammad Ali during his funeral, because what he got out of in dealing with Parkinson's was his interpretation was that he had to do good. It was about working his way to heaven. And I know a lot of people watched that memorial and thought, well, yeah, that's what you have to do. You got to earn your way to heaven. You know, that is the biggest lie, and it's the biggest waste of human energy when we buy into that idea, because that comes from the devil. That doesn't come from God. Right. God clearly said, look, your entrance into heaven has already been settled. The only thing that needs to happen is, hey, are you going to accept Jesus as the cornerstone of your life? And for you, it took this experience to do that, right?
Absolutely. It's all about grace, not about how good we think we are.
Yeah.
Although I do try and be good.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, we don't want to go around being knuckleheads. I mean, when you have that kind of experience, with God, you know, how do you come? I mean, it's like your wife must have been blown away because you go through this experience. And now all of a sudden you're talking about God and she's thinking, oh, Lord, have mercy. What's happened to this boy?
Yeah, she didn't like it at all because she was a non-believer, too, but she didn't have the experience. So how do you
get her to understand the experience and your conversion? Now, does she see the dramatic life change and says, I want some of what you have, or she just repelled and says, I don't want anything to do with you?
She is an attorney, and she was horrified by the change in me, and she divorced me.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean,
broke my heart.
I bet, because you have now, at that time, how many children did you have when you were 38 in Paris?
Two.
You have two, now you have six, so you've remarried, right?
Yeah.
You remarried?
A woman who likes the new me.
Yeah. Isn't that a celebration, huh? Well, and maybe, you know, for your first wife, it's some, maybe, you know, she comes to know the truth. Because that's what we had hoped, and I see that for me personally. We've all gone through this journey, Howard. That's why I say what you've gone through is nothing unique. We all have our moments, our Damascus moments, you could say, as Paul went through, and they are life-changing, and you're grateful for having that time to be able to come into contact with the truth and, you know, make the choices that really are eternal choices. And now you're building a legacy built on this new faith you have, and that's most incredible. And I imagine you like that a lot more even than all your degrees that you have. Howard Storm has been our guest, and we're talking about his book, My Descent into Death, A Second Chance at Life.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP Health Tip after this.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really? Because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like AccuCheck and Walgreens TrueMetrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket cost when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
America, what will it take for you to finally recognize that we're facing a major financial problem today? How high does our debt have to go? How far do stock prices have to fall? How many more times must Congress raise the debt ceiling? How many more trillions does the Fed need to print out of thin air? How much bigger must the wealth gap between rich and poor get? How much longer does the Fed need to manipulate interest rates? Wake up, America. The facts are simple. We can't afford our debts, and we can't stop printing or borrowing money. So, we're going to see a massive monetary crisis like nothing in history. Don't believe government officials or mainstream media who tell you everything's okay. Get the facts. Go online to www.defendmymoney3.com. Learn how to protect yourself. Go to www.defendmymoney3.com. That's defendmymoney3.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Bar Justice is responsible for the content of this ad. Attention, all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson baby powder was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using the talcum baby powder product. Multiple studies show that women who have long-term use of talcum powder in products such as baby powder for feminine hygiene can increase the risk of contracting ovarian cancer. If you or a family member have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Baby Powder Alert today. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. The consultation is free, and you'll pay nothing unless you receive a settlement. So if you or a loved one used talcum baby powder products before being diagnosed with or died from ovarian cancer, make this important free call today. Call 1-800-588-7342. 1-800-588-7342.
Listen to Bill Martinez live.
It is all about the voice of truth, isn't it? I'll tell you, if we're going to get this country back on track, we want to do it based on the truth and the facts as best we can. And that's what this radio show is all about. We're pursuing the truth no matter where it leads. I got a new memo for you in case you didn't get this memo. Social Security is going bankrupt, okay? The countdown has begun. I want to make sure that you are aware of that. Forget what, you know, some of the politicians are trying to tell us. It's just, it's not a matter of if, it's when. And that date is to be determined. Now, Al Downs is with us. He serves as Generation Opportunities Economic Policy Analyst before joining GenOp. Al spent 4 years as a legislative staffer in the United States Congress, working for members of both the House and Senate, where he advised on tax, budget, labor, regulatory, and banking policy. Al, I imagine it was back in the days when they could still do math, right? They could still add the numbers up, right?
Well, you know, that's what we were there for.
Yeah, before Common Core came in, I mean, we could actually, back in those days, 1 + 1 actually equaled 2. And, of course, today, in today's administrative math, I mean, this is incredible, these numbers that are being thrown at us. But to me, I just think it's unconscionable, it's unethical, where we find ourselves today after all the money that we, the people, have poured into Social Security, and they just say, you know, hey, we're going bankrupt. I mean, how could this happen? I mean, we know that in President Johnson's era, he signed the order. I mean, he signed the bill that said it's okay for us to take the lock off the box. The politicians just could not handle all that money sitting in Social Security, and they basically misappropriated our funds, and now they so casually just say, hey, we're going bankrupt.
Well, Bill, that's actually a common misconception about how the money's being redirected. So ever since 1935, since the Social Security Act went into was first passed and signed into law, any excess revenues had to be invested into government bonds. So it certainly is adding to the deficit, and you're completely right when you say that the math doesn't add up, and you know we've been saddled with a program that's going bankrupt and is going to bankrupt our country along with it. But the idea that that Congress has raided the trust fund is really just kind of a politically expedient lie that politicians have been telling for years to kind of blame it on other politicians, and really the problems are a lot more fundamental than that.
Okay. Well, I stand corrected, and I appreciate, I mean, you're there, so break it down, because the general understanding is that they raided the lockbox. You say that's not the case, but even still, I mean, look at, don't they have some fiduciary responsibility with this money? I mean, this is the people's money.
No, you're absolutely right, and it's a very common misconception about, you know, where the money has gone or what has happened to it, and really, if that money hadn't been invested in government debt, the trust fund would already be insolvent. The tax revenue hasn't been able to cover the cost of the program since 2010. So if we didn't have that interest buffer coming from this debt that has been issued to the rest of the federal government, the program would already be insolvent. People currently receiving Social Security benefits would have faced those, you know, 20 to 30% cuts that they're looking at a few years down the road. Now they would have faced those in 2010.
Now, you're saying that the trust fund, the Social Security trust funds, are projected to run dry in 2034. Is that a pretty good year, a pretty good date?
So that's, I don't think really any date is good for projecting bankruptcy of the federal government. But the Social Security trustees issue a report, and Congress requires them to issue this report every year. Every year since Social Security has existed, they have been mandated by law to issue a report about the solvency and the financial situation of the trust fund. And this report was issued last week. Not a whole lot of attention was paid to it. There were some members of Congress taking naps on the floor of the House, as you may have seen, and that sort
yes.
of sucked up all the media coverage. But the report came out, and it said that 2034 is the drop-dead date, at which point all the cumulative revenue, which includes the payroll taxes that every worker almost every worker pays, the taxes that folks who receive Social Security benefits, the taxes on those benefits that they pay back, and the revenue that is being generated from interest payments on debt to the Social Security fund, all of that will be insufficient to cover the projected cost of the program in 2034.
Well, Congress has been kicking this can around, trying to figure out what to do with it. They got to attack it sooner or later. They've been avoiding the inevitable. You know, to me, I got to say to you, Al, I am shocked already that the young millennials have not been able to put together some sort of lawsuit that calls the Social Security program for what it is. I mean, and this may be a little extreme, so forgive me, but in my perception, this is nothing more. It has become nothing more than a Ponzi scheme, because these kids are paying into this, and they're not going to realize any benefit. I mean, if you're saying 2034, these kids aren't going to be of age. But meanwhile, they put all this money into it, and we're basically using them to fund us. You know, I say us, you know, us that are over 60.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, young people all over the country have a right to be upset about this. And, you know, people in my generation, I'm a millennial, and people in my generation are very well aware that this program won't be around for them. But there's really no options that are available to get out of the program or to put it on a more sustainable path. Like I said, this trustees report has been issued to Congress every year the program has existed. And the last major reform to Social Security was in 1984. In 1985, the year immediately after the last reforms, they were projecting essentially the same numbers that are being projected today in terms of insolvency. You look at it, you know, they're a few years off because this was 30 years ago, but this is not a new problem. Congress mandates the trustees, tell them what's wrong, and then they just continue to ignore the problem. And young people in my generation are going to be faced with having paid into something their entire lives that we're not going to be able to benefit from.
That's not American, Al. I'm sorry. It's just not, you know, and there has to be something done about this. I mean, we've been talking about this time and again. And I got to tell you, I mean, I have children, you know, that are starting to enter the workforce. And, you know, my daughter said, Dad, I can't believe all the taxes. And what is this? And I go, Social Security. I don't think we're supposed to get, we're going to get any of that. Why are we paying into this? I mean, we're ripe for a revolt here. And understandably so, where the, you know, millennials have to sit there and say, look, why are we participating in something illegal? Because this is really what it comes down to. I mean, you guys, the young people are being forced to participate in something that ultimately is illegal. And yet our government officials, our politicians are kind of just sitting on the sidelines just saying, OK, well, we'll take care of it. Trust us. We'll take care of it. Well, they're not going to take care of it unless they have to. And what are we going to do? Try and take care of it at year 2033?
Right. And that, you know, if that's the case, there, you know, there's really going to be no way to avoid cuts for any of the people who are currently depending on the program. Right now, we're still far enough out that, you know, some people who have no other options available to them right now and have kind of built their whole retirement plan based around Social Security can be held harmless. But if we wait too much longer, any reforms are not only going to affect my generation, because I think everybody my age understands the program's going to have to change if it's going to be around, but folks in older generations who are already collecting or about to be collecting Social Security. And, you know, I think what really needs to happen, and it's a fair question that you bring up. Millennials pose this all the time. You know, we're going around the country talking to folks about economic policy issues, and folks in my generation wonder, why are we paying into this thing that's not going to be around? And the problem is Social Security was created 80 years ago. I mean, my generation is used to iTunes updating every 3 days. Why
exactly.
Has it taken 80 years for our retirement plan to be changed in any significant way? The options for savings that are available to the young people today are significantly greater than they were to people in the 30s and 40s when the program was implemented. And you see it in the data that people in my generation actually have a higher savings rate than folks in other age groups.
Exactly.
We're less likely to get penalties for withdrawing early on 401ks.
Al, we're running out of time. Only got about 5 seconds. Where can they go for more information very quickly?
Absolutely, Bill. So anyone who wants more information can check us out at generationopportunity.org or on Twitter at GenOp.
Final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING.com.
This report is brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. New Jersey just got healthier. Hackensack University Health Network and Meridian Health have joined together to change how care is delivered. Robert C. Garrett, co-CEO.
We intend to make our coming together more meaningful and groundbreaking as we anticipate Hackensack Meridian Health will transform healthcare delivery and serve as a national example. Our leadership is committed to implementing innovative models of care, advancing education and research, and thoroughly reimagining healthcare delivery to thrive in this new world.
John K. Lloyd, co-CEO.
Our commitment includes our network of physician practices, home care, rehab facilities, fitness and wellness centers, post-acute care facilities, and much more. This is truly the most comprehensive integrated network in New Jersey and one of the top in the country.
For more information, visit HackensackMeridianHealth.org.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we don't diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, Bill Martinez Live is offering Clemson University's study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to BillMartinezLive.com, Youngevity, or call 855-305-8326. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 855-305-8326.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Attention backpackers, on a budget, why spend $80 to $300 to pump clean survival water? Introducing the Viva Water Pump Kit from Viva Outdoor Products. Super easy to use and super lightweight at only 6.5 ounces, the Viva Water Pump Kit provides high flow rate at 1 ounce per stroke, can be one hand pumped, and is dependable and affordable at only $24.99, filter not included. Get your Viva Water Pump Kit at viba-odp.com from Viva Outdoor Products.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Got to get you into my life.
Oh, isn't it about time, ladies and gentlemen? It's time for Michael Loftus, one of the busiest national performer writers in comedy today. He's host of The Flip Side with Michael Loftus on TV and The Loftus Party on radio. And the party continues. Whenever Michael's around, just bring, you know, your noisemakers and your funny-looking hats because, hey, look, we got to have fun. Right, Michael? I mean, life is just too serious as it is already.
I tell you what, that's the truth, man. I was at this big giant political conference over the weekend.
Oh, Lord.
I was on a panel with Michael Steele, former chair of the and I'm like, "Hey, guy, here's what I'm doing. I'm going to make the Republican Party fun again." And I tell you what, he lit up. He lit up like a Christmas tree. He's like, "Thank God."
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's taking themselves too seriously. I mean, that's what the Brits are teaching us. I mean, the heck with teapots, man. We're just going to go and have a good time, and, you know, we'll control our own destiny. And
I want to put the party in Tea Party.
Yeah, why not? I'm with you. Hey, go ahead.
Oh, I'm just thinking, like, what we're selling is so much better than the other side. You know, you've got the Democrats who are like, just all they do is cover up scandals. And they're the thought police, and they're trying to limit free speech. The right has never had the... We've got the best chance to look fun now than we've ever had.
Exactly.
We're selling liberty and personal freedom and lower taxes. Who's not down with that?
Exactly. And to your point about the Democrats, I mean, you know, what I find most ironic, Michael, is they're the first to tell you, you know, hey, we want to make sure that all this information is out there so we'll never do this again. I mean, that is like, you know, their key talking point. Let's not ever do Benghazi again. Let's not ever do any, you know, the shootings in Orlando again, right? But meanwhile, their policies ensure that that will continue, and their policies ensure that life after death continues for them because it's all about their position being sustained at our expense.
Yeah, I made a little mistake being casual with my emails. Let's make sure that never happens again. Yeah,
those doggone emails. I mean, they got bugs in them, man. They just, next thing you know, they're crawling out your computer and, you know, exposing national secrets. And, you know, of course, I didn't have anything to do with it. It had to be those little bugs in the computer, right?
I love how she says that it was just like a casual mistake and she was doing it for convenience. And now they actually have an email between her and Huba Abedin. We're like, we got to keep a lid on this.
Oh my gosh! Like, I mean, well, this is what Trump should do. Yeah,
he should show up. He should show up at the debate with like special suits on. Remember that Talking Heads movie where the lead singer of the Talking Heads had a suit that looked like a brick wall?
Yeah, right.
Trump should wear these giant suits that just say Benghazi scandal.
But
he should just be blatant. So as every time the camera's on him, it reminds people of the email scandal. He could actually have printouts of the emails on his suit.
Well, Michael, you talk about the one-sided news coverage, and, of course, speaking of Benghazi, the Republicans presented their report today, preempted a little bit yesterday by the Democrats because they knew what was coming, and they wanted to try to form the whole discussion and the presentation and the optics of Benghazi. But I don't know how you dress up this pig. I mean, the pig's a pig. And no matter what kind of dress you put it in, it's still a pig, right?
Well, here's the thing they're doing, is they're just trotting out pig after pig after pig after pig and saying, don't pay attention. The Democratic formula is like, oh, here they go again, the Republicans, looking for another scandal. Aren't we tired of this? Aren't we bored? It's what they do with every scandal.
Right.
Here they go about Lois Lerner's emails again. What's this bizarre fascination with? They try to make it about emails rather than like freedom.
Well, it's about emails and all the money that it costs in order to do the investigation. And the same reason, like for Bill Clinton, the reason we spent so much money is because he wanted to lie. And until we found the blue dress, he couldn't lie anymore. I mean, it's like, oh.
Hey, dude, you just nailed it, my friend. Yeah. It's not about email. It's about truth.
Yes. Exactly.
And every time they say, how much money did we spend, we should go, how much is the truth worth?
Exactly.
Last time I checked, it was worth all the money in the world. Last time, and that's because that's what Bernie Sanders always did, and I'm stealing that from him. I love it when Bernie Sanders goes, last time I checked, this is a democracy. Last time I checked, this is the United States of America. So I want to hit him with that. Last time I checked, we were about the law. And everyone is equal under the law. So I don't know what the truth is worth to you, but to me, it's worth all the money, all the tea in China.
Yes. I'm telling you, Bernie Sanders loves to share. So that's not a problem. He's happy to share with you. You know that, Michael.
Yeah, Bernie's not going anywhere. That guy's going to have a late night talk show. I think he's going to get Stephen Colbert's slot when all this is over. It's the Bernie Sanders Socialism Hour.
Why not?
Yeah.
Well, you imagine?
Venezuela? Oh, I can't imagine. I think it would be great. As I said it, I'm like, that's actually not a bad idea.
You're writing this down, huh? You're writing it down. Why not? You know, hey, you know, we're always looking for good programming. Why not?
I would watch a Bernie Sanders talk show, but he has to have a Venezuelan band.
Yeah, I think so.
In rags and eating out of garbage cans.
Either Venezuelan or Cuban. Maybe we can bring Desi Arnaz back or something, you know? Little Cuban Pete, huh?
The ghost of Desi Arnaz to a Cuban Pete.
Why not? Hey, have you seen that kid that does, he's an eighth grader, and he does this interpretation of the Canada. Have you seen him? Aiello, what's the kid's? Is he brilliant?
We have a thing on my website, theloftistparty.com. We have this thing called the Daily Dose, and all we do is I have a team of people that just scour the internet for fun stuff like that. They found that last week, and I saw it. It was delightful.
Yes.
That kid has a future in show business.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have another one, too, for you, Michael. I'll share with you. I'm sure your people are all over it. I ran into it yesterday. It's on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. This country star, he's singing, I say country star, he should be. I'm not familiar with him. I think his name is Brian Lewis, and he says, my dog is a Democrat. Have you seen that one?
No, that's great. We got to share that link.
Oh, yeah, it's there. Go to my website. Brian Lewis, it's his official video. He says, I think my dog's a Democrat. It is a hoot. You know, he talks about, you know, hey, I got to feed my dog. I got to clean up after him, all this stuff. I mean, it is hysterical. Good fun.
That's great. Yeah, I think my dog's a Democrat, and then he should do a follow-up. I think my cat's a communist.
You know, well, the cats.
I think my hamster's a Nazi.
Well, you know, those doggone cats, they're always changing because they're fluid. You know, they just don't like to declare themselves, and they often, if not always, maintain the option to change at any moment. As soon as you think you got them figured out, they change, right?
And like a true communist, they're secretly only looking out for themselves.
Well, why not? But, you know, we talked about in your latest article about the one-sided news coverage. And, you know, I got to tell you, I am still waiting. I cannot believe why Bernie Sanders and the millennials aren't yelling and screaming about what happened to them with the AP announcement, because they came up with this new math. All of a sudden, 2 days before California and the final Super Tuesday of the primary season, and they announced, hey, we just figured out Hillary's got all the numbers. You don't even have to bother to vote. And so here you got a close race. You're there in California. There was about 2-point separation 2 days before.
Yeah.
As soon as that announcement came out, then the vote comes out, and what double-digit numbers she beat him by and really put the slap down on him. Thank you very much, AP. I'm sure she sent them over a basket of primary fruit. Thank you for the wins.
And that AP graphic, of breaking news, Hillary clinches with it. That graphic had been done like a week before, a week before they announced it.
Yes.
So they were just sitting on their little breaking news, Hillary clinches by blah 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 points in Puerto Rico. They were just sitting on that, waiting, and then they finally decided, you know, hey, it's getting close. We should do this now and make sure the Bernie people don't show up. And it worked like a charm.
It really did. And I'm glad you picked up on that, because a lot of people didn't. And I'm sitting there going, what am I missing here? Am I stuck in some alternate universe of non-reality here? And just, poor Bernie, he got worked. And of course, they tried to work the people in Britain as well by saying there was only going to be a 2-point differential. You got Barack Obama going over there saying, hey, you're in the back of the line, buddy. You know, if you guys leave the EU, you're talking to our closest ally, and you're telling them they're in the back of the bus if they make the wrong choice here. And so they take his 20 seconds of professorial meanderings and tell him where he can go back to, because they don't need him. And now there's a 4-point actual swing. I mean, how disconnected are they? And of course, Hillary was all over this as well, too. So, you know, what does that tell you about this coming election and in terms of the portend that we can look forward to here in the United States?
It's going to be nuts. And I tell you what, all the Cruz people and all the Marco Rubio people, I know you're unhappy. I know you're completely unhappy. But to me, it's very simple. Either Hillary's going to win or the Republican is going to win.
Exactly.
So I'm just going to vote for the guy with the R in front of his name. Do I think that Donald Trump is the end-all, be-all? No, I don't. However, I know it's going to be really bad under Hillary. And then if Donald Trump does win by some miracle, wait for the recount. Democrats love democracy until they lose.
Yeah.
Right? When Democrats win by 1/15th of 1 percentage point, they're like, it's a mandate from the people.
Exactly.
It's a mandate.
We know there's hanging chads out there. There's got to be hanging chads. In fact, we're going to go for two for the price of one. We're going to re-vote for Brexit, and we're going to re-vote for the President of the United States. Why not? Let's all get in line. Michael Loftus with us. Michael, always good to have you with us. I'm Bill Martinez Live.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.